It's the JT the Brick Show.
You know, we're going to have a lot of positive energy. The guys that love to compete and play with passion are going to have a chance at our place.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Man, I'm loving it, man. They're making my job tremendously easy to be out here with these young, talented players, man. I think we have a really good team.
I'm super excited. I'm already loving this fan base, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Here we go. T-minus 31 hours till the Raiders kick off their preseason schedule in the Pacific Northwest. The Emerald City, Seattle, Washington, the Raiders exhibition schedule gets underway. Welcome, everybody. Afternoon, a happy Wednesday on the eve of the preseason kickoff. Vince Sapienza once again sitting in for the legend. That is JT the Brick. JT getting on a bird just about now with the team heading to the great Pacific Northwest, getting ready for the game. The Raiders finished a walkthrough earlier this morning. No practice today, no availability, just a simple walkthrough as they get set for the beginning of really what is the 2025 campaign and the journey that is the marathon season that is the National Football League. And, you know, it's about this time. Training camp's underway. The pads are on. You know, the green grass is out there. We've seen 11 on-field practices for the Raiders. Been there every single day. And football does feel back. But once the football starts getting back on the TV, that's really when things really feel. And the Hall of Fame game is great. We got to witness the enshrinement of a good friend, Eric Allen. That was fantastic. Hall of Fame game happened. There it is. But now we get the slate of every team kind of getting underway. You get to really dissect, ingest, digest, and really analyze all the different teams going on right now in the National Football League. So, very excited for it. And we're going to start with the question of the day. We had a great conversation this morning on the morning tailgate about, you know, Pete Carroll said everyone's live. Everyone's available. Now, how true that is, we will wait and see. That does not technically mean the starters are all playing. But when he says everybody's live, everyone's available, means the option is there, not ruling anybody out. So the question I wanted to ask here on the JT the Brick Show is, what do you want to see accomplished in preseason game number one? Obviously, you know, nobody getting hurt. I think that's clear. That's obvious. That is everyone. That is every team in the NFL. You don't want anybody hurt. Unrealistic? Yes. But everybody wants to be injury-free leaving a game. But what do you want to see accomplished? Are there certain boxes you want to see checked? If it is the starters getting in the game, what do you want to see? Is it Geno having a completion percentage above 60%? Is it him getting on the same page with the Jacoby Myers, Adante Thornton, Jack Besh? I would say Brock Powers, but after 11 practices at training camp, they seem to be on the same page early and often. But what is it on defense? Do you want to see that quartet of corners kind of make their mark, do their thing? What is it? 702-365-9200 is the number. For me, in terms of what you want to see accomplished, I want to see a clean pocket. I want to see a clean pocket in the pass game, especially if it's with the ones. I want to see what that starting five can do. And we have made a lot of, and rightfully so, about that offensive line, specifically the interior offensive line. Jackson Powers Johnson at the right guard spot, Jordan Meredith at the center spot. If they do indeed play, which I do believe they'll get at least a series, again, that's not inside information. That's just pure speculation on my part and reading the tea leaves from Pete Carroll of what they're looking for, what they want to see. I think we're going to see, at minimum, that interior offensive line of Dylan Parham, Jordan Meredith, and JPJ in Seattle. Now, to what extent, that's beyond me, but I do think we're going to see him. So, in terms of what we want to accomplish, what I want to see them accomplish, I want to see some push. I want to see what makes them so dynamic. I want to see them pulling. I want to see them pushing. I want to see them bullying the other defensive tackles, regardless if that's the Seattle starters, their backups, their reserve players, whoever it is. I want to see some bully ball on the offensive line. And really the cohesion. And that is a what we're talking about now is kind of a microcosm of what this whole show is going to be. I didn't mean it for to be this way, but it's going to be a heavy offensive line kind of day. Because coming up later this hour, we have former Raiders fullback Orin O'Neal talking about his life in the preseason, what these players are going through during this time of the year, during training camp, what it means to make your bread, make your hay during training camp and the preseason. He'll join us at 12:30. Hour number two, 1 o'clock, former Packers offensive lineman, writer for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and a best-selling author, by the way, Andy Phillips will be joining us here on the JT The Brick Show, and he's going to talk about the dynamics of the offensive line, specifically the interior offensive line. He was a former guard in college that transitioned to center in the National Football League, so he gives us first-hand experience of what Jackson Powers Johnson and what Jordan Meredith are not only going through, but what they need to show that they can be productive and do it at the highest level. So that's Andy Phillips in hour number two. And then, very exciting, I go one-on-one with Raiders rookie offensive lineman Caleb Rogers. We talk about everything. Transition from college to the pros. His changing of positions from tackle to guard to getting some run at the center position, which we saw during the mock game at Allegiant Stadium on Saturday. So that is a conversation you do not want to miss. I go one-on-one with Caleb Rogers in hour number two at 1:30. But I want to hear from you. 702-365-9200. What do you want to see the Raiders accomplish? Do you not even care about the offense at this point? You feel pretty good. Do you want to see what's going on the defensive line? That defensive tackle spot, the Raiders trade away Ja'Cory Bennett, add another big body guy in the middle of that defensive line in Thomas Booker IV, number 47, by the way. Do you want to see him accomplish something? He's been a run stuffer, known for early on in his career, but talking to Marcus Johnson of Tape Don't Lie this morning on the morning tailgate, he says he needs to evolve as a pass rusher. So that's something he, on a personal level, is definitely trying to achieve. 702-365-9200. Before we open up the phone lines and look at some of your texts, let's hear from Raiders head coach Pete Carroll on what he's seen as we all ask the question, what are we missing? What are we seeing with Jordan Meredith at center and Jackson Powers Johnson at center? Here's the Raiders head coach Pete Carroll.
We look physical with those guys out there, and they've given us a nice flash, but we're just getting started. It's a long ways for both those guys. JPJ's been a center most of his time, and Jordan's been a guard most of his time. So, you know, what are we thinking? You know, you could ask. But we think we see something in this combination, and we're going to give it a look.
So that's Raiders head coach Pete Carroll talking about, hey, what are we thinking? What are we doing? Putting a guard at center, putting a center at guard. You know, they clearly value physical attributes for positions, right? We've seen that in the secondary. We've seen that with who they've gotten the run at cornerback. We're seeing it along the offensive line as well. They said for a few weeks now, Jordan Meredith just fits the mold better as a center at the National Football League. Now, he did well at guard. They recognize that. They applaud that. They value that. But they're saying when you're looking at finding the best five, finding the best interior offensive linemen, Jordan Meredith's profile, his communication, his leadership, everything that goes with it fits more towards the center. Now, is that an ego check for JPJ? Is that, swallowing a little bit of pride? Maybe. Maybe for JPJ. I mean, you can't get away from the fact that we've heard him all offseason long introducing himself to fellow teammates, to people. Hey, I'm your center. Jackson Powers Johnson, I'm your center. He's a gregarious, he's an outgoing, he's a fun-loving guy that prides himself on his position, which, you know, in college was center, and he wanted to be center, making his way in the National Football League. But this staff, this regime says and believes, by the sound of it and by the look of it, that he can make his bread and be, you know, a top-level player at the right guard position as well. So when we talk about what are we trying to accomplish in the preseason, yes, you want to win the games if you can. You want to win every rep, though. You want your tape to shine. And I think that's the bigger accomplishments. And from a coaching standpoint, I think what you're looking for and you want to accomplish along the offensive line is that cohesion. And when you're switching two guys at positions, and I know JPJ played guard some last season as well, but you want to see that cohesion early so you can hit the ground running. What has been the theme of Pete Carroll and the staff from the moment they got here? They're not dipping their toe in the water in any aspect. They want to hit the ground running starting week one in Foxborough. And that's why I do believe we're going to see the ones to some extent. And that's why I do believe they want to accomplish a lot in a short period of time, which is why I think that mock game at Allegiant Stadium was so critical to the team. Pete Carroll at the end of it said, "You guys don't even understand how much we accomplished, how much we got out of this, the tapes, the cut-ups that we're getting from the two-hour simulated scrimmage at Allegiant Stadium." Whether it was the logistics of coming into the building, pretending like it was a game day, whether it was running through the pregame warmups, having the crowd at your back, whatever it may be, just the plays in itself. They said the value is enormous, and that's something as Pete Carroll has done in years past. He did it all the time in Seattle. So you combine what they did at Allegiant on Saturday, and now you get to go against a different jersey on Thursday in Seattle. And so for me, in terms of what you're trying to accomplish, you're trying to find some cohesion. And it's not just cohesion between a JPJ, a Jordan Meredith, and a Dylan Parham on the interior offensive line. It's Geno Smith. Geno Smith has to have some cohesion as well. We were seeing a daily rotation of JPJ and Jordan Meredith at center. Well, for the last few days and the last few practices, it's been only Jordan Meredith. And on Saturday, we saw some high snaps. It wasn't completely picture perfect. Jordan Meredith, after the mock game said, I got to work on those snaps, which is why I believe we're going to see the ones at least a little bit. I think for a series, if I were a betting man, I think we're going to see him for a series in Seattle so that they can get those snaps done. They can get that communication going. And that is obviously a very critical piece to all of this. Raiders quarterback Geno Smith was asked about that relationship. JPJ, Jordan Meredith, the cohesion, the comfortability. Here's QB1 about what he's seen out of the interior offensive line, specifically a Jordan Meredith.
Yeah, Jordan, you know, I only got to meet him this year, so I only know him as a center. But he's been spectacular. I mean, he's amazing. He's on it every single day. A great leader in that room. He's super smart, and then he's tough as nails, man. I mean, it's great to have a line like that, you know, just to be able to sit back there and read it and, you know, go through all my reads and make the throws. It makes the game a lot easier for me. So Jordan's doing a great job, but they all are connected, doing a really good job.
Comfort in the offensive line is obvious for a quarterback. When there's comfort there, it's one less thing you have to think about in a split-second span where you're processing and thinking about a million different things. When you don't have to worry about the offensive line, obviously that is the key to any offense or any quarterback's success. But the part about that I think is the biggest feather in the cap for Jordan Meredith or a compliment to him is when Geno says, look, I didn't know him before this year, so I didn't know he wasn't a center to begin with. And to me, that's the compliment, is this is a guy who just met him saying, hey, you're going to be taking snaps with Jordan Meredith. Okay. Now, if he sat there and say, hey, you know, he's adjusting well going from guard to center, that'd be one thing. But Geno's like, I didn't know he was anything else. So I think that's a compliment for the offense. But as we continue to, you know, go down the boxes and figure out what to check, you know, what are you trying to accomplish in preseason game number one? There's 1,000 things, maybe even 1,000,000 things. Different coaches, different players, personally, team, organizationally. What are you trying to achieve? And I think for Geno, if he does get in and if he does play, you know, one thing I would like to see accomplished, how realistic is it? I don't know, but it'd be the red zone. You know, and during training camp, there's been a big focus on red zone offense. And one of the big takeaways from those red zone offensive drills, at least with the ones, is Geno finding a lot of chemistry with the tight ends, Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. We saw it at the mock game on Saturday, 2 touchdowns to Brock Bowers in those red zone exercises, in those scenarios. And if I were to be selfish, which I can be because I'm just behind a mic and I have no influence on the game whatsoever this preseason, I'd want to see them, the ones in the offense, in the red zone on offense. I want to see it against a different jersey because it's kind of been a little bit of a process. There's been highs, there's been lows, but it seems like every time Geno looks a tight end's way, there's success. Here's Geno Smith talking about finding those right reads and getting it to the playmakers in the most important part of the field, which happens to be the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, just having weapons, especially the ones that we have, it's very valuable. And, you know, for me, man, like, it's about throwing the ball to the right guy, to the open guy. Never try to force the ball to a guy. You know, let the defense dictate where the ball goes. And so I just try to make the right reads. And we got so many different playmakers that it just, you know, guys are showing up. It's just how it's going. But all of those guys are capable, the tight ends, the running backs, the receivers. We have a really, really special group. And I just want to make sure that I'm pushing everybody so that we can get better and continue to, you know, progress as we go along.
So again, you know, like I said, there was highs and lows, and when he says, you know, not force the ball, you know, let the defense dictate where I go with the ball, things of that nature, you know, we've seen it in training camp. I've seen it firsthand, those red zone drills. There's been times where Geno has tried to force it in to receivers or whoever it may be, and it's either gone the other way or it's fallen incomplete and they had to settle for a field goal. But, you know, time and time again, his chemistry with these tight ends, Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, and even Ian Thomas to an extent, who's getting a lot of run with the ones during training camp. I mean, there is a comfort there. There's a confidence there between quarterback and receiver, tight end, whatever you want to call him, pass catcher, playmaker, that I think you're going to see a lot of action with this Chip Kelly offense, Geno and the tight ends. And even as we see, you know, the backups, Aiden O'Connell, Cam Miller, I think you're going to see a lot of run between quarterback and tight end. But more specifically, as we look ahead to, you know, more reps in training camp, maybe we'll see him in the preseason. But the Geno Smith, Brock Bowers connection is something that has happened very quickly, happened very seamlessly. And here's Geno on that relationship with Brock Bowers.
I mean, the talent's obvious, right? Like, the talent that he has, you know, a big body who runs like a receiver, runs like a slot receiver, catches like an X receiver or a Z receiver, blocks like a tight end. I mean, he's got the full gamut of, like, what you want from a tight end, prototypical. But I think it's the off the field and just his overall demeanor, man. Like, a guy who comes every day ready to work, you know, doesn't really speak much. But a great teammate, great leader, and then, like, every single day he's out there working hard. I mean, from the minute we step on the field, he's giving you 110%. And that's, like, you got guys like him, like Max. Like, all these guys are the spitting image of what you want to be as a Raider. And, man, like, Brock's a guy, like, if I could say, like, hey, man, watch this guy and emulate him, that's the guy you want to be like.
So I'll give you an example of the progress and the chemistry being built between Geno Smith and Brock Bowers. You know, a couple weeks ago, early on in training camp, they were running 7-on-7. Geno tries to throw a back shoulder pass in the end zone to Bowers. Bowers turns the wrong way. He cuts in instead of looking back along the sidelines. It's an incomplete pass. 5 minutes later, during team drills, they run the exact same play after a quick discussion, and it's a touchdown. And again, you fast forward that progression to what we saw Saturday at the mock game. You saw on the second touchdown to Brock Bowers the exact same play call that I witnessed a week and a half ago. They're installing it. They're putting it into motion. And when, you know, you can go back, look at the clips online, different things like that. I posted up on the X at Vince Sapienza. And you can see it's almost unguardable. It's undeniable the frozen rope that Geno delivers, the pass, the placement, and then just the ability for Brock Bowers to work the defender to get open just enough to make the catch. He's going to come down with it. Ball doesn't ever seem to hit the grass when the ball is coming towards Brock Bowers. So that progression is happening in real time, and that connection particularly is one that should excite Raider Nation, in my opinion, because that one is happening at such a quick rate. That feels like they're going to hit the ground running week one immediately, and that's just going to continue. So in terms of what you're looking to accomplish, I want to say Geno and the chemistry for his pass catchers, but his number one target, Brock Bowers, and even to a certain extent, Jakobi Meyers, seems like that is already being accomplished. Again, that job will probably never be done, But now it's more so with the guys behind him in terms of what are you looking to accomplish? 702-365-9200. Union Raider says, I want to see the defensive line get after the quarterback, and I want to see everyone compliment each other. Max needs to get home more often. I don't know how much Max Crosby's going to play in Seattle. Again, if I were a betting man, if I were guessing, I would say none. Say he makes the trip. He's a big hype man. But you don't need to see Max Crosby play. Max, there's nothing Max can accomplish in the preseason. I don't think there's a thing he can accomplish other than hyping up his teammates and getting the other guys going. Ty says, one thing I'm excited to see is what Chip Kelly's offense is going to look like. I'm sure it will be a vanilla game plan, but we should see a little of what Chip is wanting to do. Just excited to see my team on the TV screen again. Couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. And as I've said on my show in the morning, during the Saturday mock game, I don't think anybody shined more during that mock game than Chip Kelly. Geno Smith looked great. Dante Thornton looked awesome. Ashton looked like he is the real deal. But Chip Kelly, to me, shined the most, which is why I'm excited to see what he can accomplish in a vanilla-type offense. They're not going to be game planning or scheming for Seattle, but to see what he can accomplish with the offense, with the weapons, after the starters. That's a good point, Ty. And just getting it on the TV. Just seeing the silver and black on the TV is going to be a great thing. Let's hear from Gino one more time about that progression. We saw big strides, I think, at Allegiant Stadium in front of a crowd. 18,000, I think, was the number that was at Allegiant Stadium. But that progression from Chip Kelly, this offense, here's what Gino has to say.
Man, I think we're getting better each and every day. Obviously, it's going to be back and forth between us and the defense, man. That's what you want. The defense out there making great plays. They got great players as well. But I think we've gotten a lot more comfortable in the scheme. We're executing and doing things a lot faster. We're making more adjustments. And so it's an ongoing process. It's always going to be like that. It's always going to be a developing situation. But we're at a really good spot right now. I feel really good about going into this game.
And again, that can be, player speak. People call coaches speak, getting better every day. But I'm, as someone who's lucky enough to be out there every day, I see it. You could see the progress. And that example I gave with Gino and Brock not being on the same page, getting on the same page, and then putting it into the quote-unquote game plan Saturday at the mock game, I mean, it's happening in real time, real speed, and they're hitting the ground running. 702-365-9200, out to the phones. Mitch in New Jersey, what do you want to see the Raiders accomplish in preseason game number one?
Hey, Lindsay, thanks for taking my call. Hope all is well. I see Tonka and JJ, and I hope I can see a little Cam Miller. I don't know, I didn't catch your earlier stuff. I know I'm a little late for the show, but those are the three guys. I mean, I think there's too many games, too many preseason games, I think. Even three is too much. Can't wait for regular season, but the summer's flying.
All right.
That's
good. Well, Mitch, I can tell you, thanks for the call. I can tell you, Cam Miller's going to get a lot of reps. Cam Miller is going to get a ton of reps. So anybody waiting, hoping, wanting Cam Miller in their life, you're going to get a lot of it this preseason for the Silver and Black. 702-365-9200. What do you want to see accomplished by the Raiders? Season game number one. We'll continue to open up the phone lines this hour. Continue to read your text. Coming up here on the JT the Brick Show, Orin O'Neal, former Raiders fullback, will be joining us to talk about his preseason memories. What the guys are going through right now. They're on that roster bubble, fighting for jobs, fighting for their careers. It's the JT the Brick Show, Raider Nation Radio, 920.
Oh, he really has sent a message that he's the hammer. And I love having different styles of running backs. His physicality that we've been celebrating with him and telling him we like the way he runs. Don't try to be something that you're not. And run heavy and run thick and tough like he does. I think he gives us a real element. So I'm really excited about what he's done so far.
Raiders head coach Pete Carroll talking about running back Zamir White. And when talking about asking the question we're asking here, What do you want to see the Raiders accomplish in preseason game number one? I think Zamir White has a ton he can accomplish. Now, this is a running back that Pete Carroll has talked about glowingly since the get-go. You know, with all the focus on Ashton Jeanty, free agent signing Raheem Mostert, a lot of people were questioning, myself included, what is the future of Zamir White? Where does he kind of fall in the shuffle? But Pete Carroll, whether asked about Zamir or unprompted talking about the running backs, has brought up Zeus, saying he's our biggest running back. And he's been imposing himself, and he's been showing himself and been displaying what he's really good at, being strong, being physical, running through tacklers. So he's a guy that I think is going to get some run in preseason game number one. I think he has a lot to accomplish and can accomplish quite a bit, to be quite honest, in terms of securing and solidifying that spot. Because with the first unofficial depth chart coming out and Ashton Jeanty obviously listed as the number one running back, it's Raheem Mostert, Zamir White, and Chris Collier listed at that second running back spot. So I think there's a lot he can accomplish, and keep your eyes on Chris Collier tomorrow and Thursday in Seattle as well. Joining us now here on the JT the Brick Show is former Raiders fullback Orin O'Neill. Once a Raider, always a Raider. Orin, Big O, great to hear from you. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Glad to be here.
Big O, we got a lot to get to. But first, you know, preseason is underway. I want you to kind of help our audience and Raider Nation kind of understand what these players are going through. Right, as guys that were either late round picks, undrafted free agents, roster bubble players, whatever it may be. I mean, you know, fans may sit there and say, it's just the preseason, let's get to the regular season. There are careers on the line, livelihoods going on. What is the feeling right now, the day before a preseason game number one, a week or so into training camp?
Man, let me tell you. So as a lower round, I was a late round guy, sixth round pick, right? So, you know, there's no guarantee you're going to make the team, right? So I know those guys are thinking like, all right, I got to go to work. Every day is work. They're showing up. They've been battling against each other. Now we're going to go live against other teams. And it's, like you said, careers on the line. Your goal, you want to make the team. You did everything you can to get to this point to make it, right? And it's time to show the world, right? And, you know, a lot of guys probably – I don't know, doing what they do, getting their rituals right, making sure they're in the playbook, double-checking so they know when their time's called, they're ready to go.
Talking to Orin O'Neill here on the JT the Brick Show. So, you know, we're asking the question, what do the Raiders want to accomplish, right, in preseason game number one? I know the wins and losses don't really matter in the preseason. They don't help your standings whatsoever. You want to win every rep, obviously. But as a former player in those preseason games, like for you, what was your checklist of the things you were trying to accomplish?
Well, a lot of things we had to show the team. First off, we had to show them we knew exactly what we were doing, right? We were prepared, we were ready. And then when it was time to go in the game, we're going to spotlight our zone. We can go, we can play, right? They're filling out spots. Everybody, teams are like, you know, this is really evaluation time. Teams want to know, all right, what do we have? Who do we have? Are they ready to go? Let's make some adjustments. We need to see what it's like in live action, right? So this game is about getting everything ready. Like you said, the fans might think like, hey, it's just not action. But to those guys out in the field, they give it everything they got. They give them going full speed, really pay attention to the younger guys in the later quarters and stuff like that, because that's their time to shine, right? A lot of people want to turn out, but you're going to see new upcoming talent. Check out those later quarters. They really plan for their careers for real.
When we talk about the preseason, what kind of memories jump out to you? Anything stand out from your time and your welcome to the NFL type moment or trying to transition into the National Football League?
No, a lot of things stood out, right? You know, one thing it was like you're in practice, you're in training camp, you're playing, right? And you're going through each other, you're playing against each other, right? But then it's live. Like you do the drills, you do all the stuff, and you're ready to go. But I remember I was killing it in my training camp, doing practice stuff like that. But we got ready to play that first game, and I just went out there. We ran a routine, you know, flare, just out in the flat, catch the pass, score a touchdown, right? And I went out there, and Jamarcus Russell, our quarterback. And I was like, all right, we ran that play, and I've been in the flat wide open. And I don't know, he threw it, that ball came humming. It's like, I don't know, it just slipped right through my hand. you know, right in front of, like, oh, no, this is my shot. This is a live TV. Everybody see it. Then the next day, one of the lead scouts came up to me. Hey, oh, hey, Big O, what's up, man? You had the opportunity to catch that ball. It just went through your head. You look good out in practice, but what's going on in the game, right? Hey, when I saw you drop that, you, what are you doing? You trying to throw away your opportunity? Man, you got to get going, right? But those type of things, you got to be ready for it. Like, you got to calm those nerves. Everything you're doing is jumping the game. That's going to be a lot of things that the guys will have opportunity to do now going into the season, right? But but that pressure be on you.
So I guess if you were to be put in front of the Raiders locker room, like, how do you help a young player battle through that, right? There's going to be tons of mistakes tomorrow on both sides of the ball. There's no question. But like you just said, you're killing it in camp. You're making that play 100 out of 100 times, then the game happens and it doesn't go your way. Like, how do you bounce back? How do you balance back out of that?
Well, one, just preparation, right? When those things happen, because one thing that always calmed my nerves, like, all right, I'm prepared. Because after I dropped that pass, I was on the jug machine every day before practice, after practice. Like, oh, I'm going to get it back to build that confidence back in my mind that I can go again. Because it really is, it's all just if your mind is right, right? You're out there doing all these things. One thing I would tell them is, like, for me, like, when I was always trying to prove myself, especially walking on from college, getting here, late round drafted, you know, beating out when I got there, Zach Crockett was there, Raider legend, fullback already. Now I'm competing and getting that spot, right? So I'm always trying to prove myself, right? And you get on the field, you get in your head, you get to thinking like, man, all right, oh, this guy here, let's don't mess up. Let's don't do that. But instead of thinking like, hey, man, this is what I do. This is what I love to do. They call this ISO play. It's time to knock somebody out. Instead of thinking, I get a chance to do what I love to do, right? Instead of having all that stress on your mind about what can go wrong and don't mess up, do what you love to do. Go out there, have fun, let it rip, let it go. So that's why I tell them, any rookie, I'll tell young me that, right? So I hope they're thinking that way.
Vince Sapienza here with Orin O'Neal, former Raiders fullback, joining me on the JT the Brick Show. All right, Orin, so as we look ahead to the Raiders game tomorrow night, preseason opener, where do your eyes go? Is it the offensive line competition? Is it the secondary? Is it Ashton Jeanty if he gets in? Where are you looking forward to the most with this Raiders team?
Man, you know me. You know what I'm looking for, right? I'm an offensive guy. I'm a running back. You know what I mean? I want to see that ball on the ground being moving, right? And we got a good running back group. You know, I like what we have, right? Especially with Ashton coming in and stuff like that. I'm super excited to see, like, all that, everything he did in college translate over to the pro level. And that goes well, I think our offense is going to be jumping, right? Because I'm an offensive guy. I want to see us run the ball. I want to see us use our tight end. We've got a veteran quarterback, right? We've got a Super Bowl winning coach. I'm ready to see the days open up. But me being biased, I want to see it be led by a run game, right? But that's what all my eyes don't be. I'm going to be in the backfield watching these running backs all day.
First play, Gino's going to be in the shotgun. Orin's going to be like, come on, man, just hand the ball off.
Come on, man, hand the ball off. Set the tone, man. Let them know what we came here to do. You know? Run it down their throat.
How do you describe the difference? So training camp starts, right? Everybody's excited. Intensity jumps up the first day of pads, right? And then describe the jump from the first day of pads at training camp to the first preseason game where you're going against a different jersey and you don't have to worry about taking care of the other team. You don't have to worry about holding up against some of the vets over there. You just get to go full bore. What is that intensity and what does that step level up sound like, feel like, look like?
Well, I don't know. So I'm going to tell you from my point of view, right? You know, you're talking about intensity. Whenever we put pads on, especially, like, if we was going against just our guys in training camp, or we were going against our guys, you know, I mean, going against the opponents in live games, they say, like, hey, we got pads on this full team. We finna go. I don't care who you are. You know what I mean? You could be my buddy. You could be my roommate, Ricky Brown. He was a linebacker. He lined up just like, Ricky, you know what you signed up for. You about to go, right? I'm full tilt everywhere we go, right? I remember the first day we put on pads when we got out there, because otherwise you're just your helmet and your shirts right there running routes, going over assignments, making sure you know where to be. But when you kick them pads on, like, it's a whole different ball game, right? Like, yeah, you can get to the edge, but what you going to do when you get there, right? So I remember our first day, we came out the edge, did a lead play, two pancake blocks in a row, stuff like that. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is ready to go, right? Then after a while, you get tired of beating up on each other, right? Because you still trying to make it. And then the jump comes when, like, all right, now we're going live. Now we're going to get somebody who hasn't seen all this formation, this ISO all 37 times, so they know what to do, right? But to me, when you switch over right there, you've been pounding somebody who knows the lead block's coming, knows we're finna load on every week and stuff like that, and then you go in the game. To me, it was easier, right? Because it's like they don't know what's coming. They got to do that read, stuff like that. But I know it's it's like iron sharpens iron. If practice lets you go through the game, it'll be easier. I remember my buddy from college. He played. He went to Detroit. I remember when I earned my scholarship, and I was so nervous. We was getting ready to play Texas A&M, and he saw me that week before. He said, "Big dog, relax, man. Y'all, you working out, man. The game's gonna be easy, right? It's just practice. Watch what you say, right?" And he was right. You know what I mean? I took that advice. Was going to run, man. It's like if you work hard and practice, you got all this stuff going. When it's time, the game going, man. It just clicks on like a second nature. You just running through everybody like butter.
The excitement for this team feels like an all-time high. At least in the last couple of years for the Raiders. Where do you stand on what Pete Carroll has achieved thus far? Again, I know no games have been played, but as a former Raider, as a member of the alumni, as somebody, you know, as I said, once a Raider, always a Raider, what is that sense of pride and optimism in this team being able to kind of turn the corner and start that trajectory up and to the right?
Well, I like when Pete comes in, especially with like all his experience and what he had before, what he's doing, right? Then he comes in here, and then he's bringing in that culture with him. We're gonna win. We're gonna try and think of the round, but you know how he makes it. He's putting all the pieces together to make it go right. I'm excited. I feel the energy when it comes. They bring us back around to do these events and stuff like that. You know, Pete comes talk to us. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, come out to practice, do all stuff like this. Invite. You just feel the different vibe, different, just like a lot of energy there right now, right? And I think that's going to transfer over to something great for us this season. I'm ready to see it.
Did you feel like you could? You wanted to go to Bobby Romanski and see if there was an extra pair of shoulder pads in the room. See, I mean, full disclosure for our audience, Big O and I were part of a chalk talk for the Raiders at Allegiant Stadium a few weeks ago, and this guy is jacked still. Big O still got it. And when we start talking about Pete Carroll and training camps and hitting people, his eyes lit up. There was a smile ear to ear. I think you can still run, get a few reps.
Hey, man, believe me, I love it. When you talk about the action, the physicality of football, the actual violence of the game, right? You know what I mean? I love it. I can't help but get excited. I'm sitting up here now, get a little perspirated, right? Thinking about it, right? But hey, there is no way I can put on any pads and line up and play more than, I don't know, I don't even think I can get through warm-ups, right? Because I don't know, my body's as bad as beat up, so I need a knee replacement, stuff like that. You're trying to get me to go to the hospital, Vince. I can't do
no,
it.
No, we don't want that. We don't want that. But, you know, kind of speaking of the hospital and getting your mind and body right, we were trying to connect last week, but you were in New Orleans for the NFL mind and body screening for NFL alumni. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how, you know, the NFL continues to kind of take care of its players?
Yeah. So the NFL, working with the trust and then the Tulane University medical staff down there in New Orleans, right? They take us down there, fly wherever you at every 5 years. They want to do a complete evaluation of your health, not just the physical, right? Because, of course, everybody knows we're going to be busted up and playing football, but they dive into the mental aspect, right? Because a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in life, right? The transition after football ain't always easy for everyone, right? So they make sure they add that in as well. It's like, hey, let's do mind and body, right? Make sure their brain is all right from all the concussions, and then make sure that their mental state, they're depressed, if they're going through this anxiety. What can we do to help everybody come in, do full blood work, everything? And then once you leave, they have a whole plan for you to make sure everything is getting taken care of on your back end, right? Because there's a lot of things after football that you didn't anticipate that you're going to have to deal with, right? Medical is one of them, right? Like I ain't know my body's going to be falling apart like this. Surgeon number 12, right? You know what I mean? But they help. They walk you through all those different things, right? So it's a great program they have, right? You know, any of the former players out there listening, like, get in touch with trust advisor. Set up and go down there and get it checked out, man. Every 5 years, I'm telling them, they look at everything. They'll find things that's going on, and they'll help you get you right. So it's a great program.
That's fantastic to hear that they're still taking care of the players beyond their playing years, and you're taking care of those around you and your community. I want to hear a little bit about that. What are you doing down there?
Oh, yeah, man. So, not to mention, so right now I'm located here in Dallas, right? And, I'm an engineer by education, right? Not only was I, a hammerhead on football field, but, you know, I was a nerd in the classroom, right? I like to build and create things, right? You know, going through that path, it's like I think it molded and helped me become a well-rounded individual, right? You know, had mentors give me where I needed to go and helped me to be what I needed to be. So, I do the same thing now. I have a nonprofit called Big Hope, and we build STEAM labs here. We work with school districts and community organizations. We go into that space, look at their existing space, or if it's not existing, we build them a STEAM lab, and then we deliver STEAM instruction that, you know, not only teaches the kids science, technology, engineering, the arts, and math, but we're out there rebuilding the whole child, right? We primarily based in underserved communities, but through these projects, through these engagement, through these mentoring, right, we're building social and emotional intelligence, resilience. We're building, they're getting, you know, their grades are improving. They're getting skills for tomorrow, and they'll be ready for whatever challenges they need, right? So, for example, one of the schools we work with, we started working with down there in South Dallas, Dunbar. When we started there, there was a C campus, but through collaboration, through all the support through the school, the teachers, the administration, my team, our industry partners, that school went from a C-rated school to an A-rated school, right? One of the few in the area, and our goal is to expand and do that and help all these schools down in South Dallas need it, right? To, you know, through STEAM education, we're going to enrich the lives of these youth that need it, right? So that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing now, and I love every minute of it.
Big O, unbelievable. Love hearing it. Good on you for all that you're doing. And just before we let you go, we appreciate you hopping on here. It's the Brick Show. I know you said your eyes are going to be going to the running game, but what do you want to see the Raiders accomplish in preseason game number one?
Well, whenever we go in a preseason game, every preseason game they tell us we want to make sure that we can get the substitutions right. Everybody knows the procedures of, like, all right, this game day, how that rolls. All those things you got to factor in too, right? Get on the bus, get off the bus, where we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to show up, how it's going to go, right? So if we get through this game, everybody gets through it healthy. We come back out with how we're going to operate. We get to find out what the new guys are going to go, right? I just want to make sure that we get everything off to a right foot and the Raiders have the foundation to build on through this preseason. And then go into the season do big things.
There it is. He's Orin O'Neal, Big O, former Raiders fullback, once a Raider, always a Raider. Orin, we love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you for everything. Thanks for hopping on. We'll chat down the road.
All right, man. Sounds good, man. It's always fun, man.
All right. That is Orin O'Neal. 702-365-9200 is the number. What do you want the Raiders to accomplish in preseason game number one? We'll continue with your thoughts here on the JT the Brick Show. It's Raider Nation Radio.
Very much so. Being at Tech for a long time, I ended up becoming a leader there, and so that was something that I grew into. And so same thing here. I'm trying to do the same thing, earn my respect from these guys, show them that I can be someone that they can lean on. To me, it's not about being a leader as much as it's about doing the work to show that I can be a leader, doing the work that someone's going to stand behind me and follow me instead of being the number one center or being the number two guard. I can't worry about that stuff right now. I just got to do the work. And so if it's something that happens, that's going to happen as I continue to evolve as a player and become that type of person.
Raiders rookie offensive lineman Caleb Rogers a few weeks ago. And Caleb, who I go one-on-one with later this in hour number two, I should say, here on JT the Brick Show. He's one of those guys that is just one of those guys you kind of lean forward to when you're talking to because he's just so insightful. He's so detailed. And he's very down to earth. And, you know, I was having a conversation a week or so ago with Dante Thornton Jr. And we were talking about the rookie class and everybody kind of building each other up. And he says the one person he's up every day is Caleb Rogers. He's a girl dad. He's a very mature player at a very young age. And he has already shown leadership in droves. And this is a guy that around the organization and around the building continually tell me, hey, keep an eye on that Caleb Rogers. Might not be this year, but the year after and in the future, this is going to be a real player. And this could be one of those real kind of cornerstone type players and fixtures for not only the Raiders offensive line, but the Raiders organization as a whole. He's a great ambassador for the team this early on in his career. And so looking forward to that chat coming up in hour number two. Now, there's another story that kind of took some headlines earlier today. The Commanders and the Patriots had a joint practice. We love our joint practices because usually when joint practices happen, we get some skirmishes, some scuffles, some Donnybrooks, if you will. Now, the Raiders have one coming up here in a week or so. But We're not there. We're here today. Commanders, Patriots. Apparently, Travion Henderson, the rookie running back for the Patriots, and a Commanders defensive player got into it after Travion Henderson picked up a blitz, was protecting his quarterback, and scuffle ensued. And you know, players are going to get involved. Obviously, you don't expect coaches to get involved, but apparently. Mike Vrabel, the legend of Mike Vrabel, only continues to grow by all accounts, and I'm sure there's some video somewhere that will surface at some point, but all the reports say he dove into the scrum, and out came bloodied and battered, and in case he wasn't loved enough in New England, that love has now grown exponentially. And it got me thinking, Bobby, what Raiders coaches would be the first to jump in a scuffle? And the first name that comes to my mind is John Glenn, Raiders linebackers coach, because he's just kind of...
I'm sorry, John Glenn is the guy that went into space in 1962.
Yeah, not the astronaut, John, the Raiders linebackers coach. Robbie Leonard's another guy, the defensive line coach that might do it.
Or you're talking modern day, actually working today coaches.
I'm talking this coaching staff. But, yeah, I'll even pose it. Hey, this is our show. 702-365-9200. What's the Raiders coach that's jumping in? There's a couple names that already come to mind.
Right off the top, AP. Yeah. He would be the first guy right in on in there. And 1A would have to be Gruden.
Yeah.
Gruden would jump. I mean, McDaniels would back off and tell him, knock that stuff up. Gruden would put on skin diving outfit and dive right into the middle of the sun. You know what I'm saying? And Pierce would wander in just, you know, barking.
Well, Pierce is an interesting name now because today, just coincidentally.
Oh, I read this also. Go ahead.
Coincidentally, this is now day two. Antonio Pierce was seen at Kansas City Chiefs training camp alongside his former defensive coordinator when he was a player with the New York Giants, Steve Spagnuolo, who they won a Super Bowl over there in New York City. And Raider Nation is irate about this.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Raider Nation.
Please get something to get irate about for real. This is completely meaningless.
And Raider Keith, I should say, the reason Raider Nation is upset with AP was because he was one of us.
Mm-hmm.
He was hired.
Mm-hmm.
And
was is the operative term
he
here.
He was a lifelong Raider fan.
Cool. I'm also a lifelong fan of making money. Well, and that he's over there. I mean, hey, you all fired him. He's got to get a job. What are you going to do? What's he going to do, become a college basketball coach? Come on now.
You know, as somebody who just gets to sit there and watch everybody get angry, I can't help but laugh because I can understand from a fan's point of view where you get to be a fan and just be a fanatic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You get it. But at the same time, when you're just a human, you guys got to – still make a living.
Of course.
Still got a family he's got to feed. He's not just going to stop because the Raiders fired him.
The only thing that cracks me up more than that is people that take politics far too seriously, but we'll kind of pass on that.
Yeah, we'll pass on that one, but agree.
But you know what I mean. You know, anything that takes that much effort out of your personal soul and life, no.
You know, something tells me deep down, Pete Carroll, he might jump in a scrum or two. If it's receivers, maybe. Maybe not the big guys. And I think it was, maybe Q can remind me. I think it was Rip Rowan who pulled his shirt off. He'd do one as well. Hour two on the way.